Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This parable is about the king who did not spare a single thing for his son's wedding feast. Yet the guests did not come at his call. Certainly, he sent out invitations well in advance. It's the king's son, after all. Everyone should know about this event. He then sent his servants to call them to enter the wedding hall because the day had finally arrived. And they would not. Perhaps Jesus had this on his mind. Oh, Jerusalem! How long I have longed to gather you, like a hen gathers her chicks, and yet you would not. It's all happening in the same week, by the way, all of those things. Still, the call went out via the king's servant. The king would not give up. He would continue to send out his servants. To make matters worse, the original guests treated these servants with shame. The messengers of the wedding feast were beaten, stoned, and even killed. What ought a king do with such unruly subjects? Jerusalem, the city which killed the prophets, continued to live up to her name with her continuous misdeeds and her sins, while the king shows great patience, even seeing and experiencing the suffering and death of his servants. At some point, his grace would indeed come to an end. And it did. The king became angry, sending his own troops, destroying these murderers and burning their city. Jerusalem had the blood of God's servants on their hands, innocent blood. They would be judged accordingly. The walls of Jerusalem would come down. Earlier in the Old Testament, the Lord brought the Babylonians against Jerusalem. They were his instrument of judgment and destruction. And then again, in AD 70, the Romans would do the same exact thing, leaving no stone on top of another. Yet even in all of this, many who experienced such judgment would not repent. The original guests were not worthy of being invited to such a feast, says our Lord. They had spit on the invitation one too many times, it seems, having spurned the king's grace, hardened their hearts, and now faced the judgment of being on the outside looking in. In darkness they would be, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What about the new guests? The servants who were left after watching their other fellow servants die were told to go out into all the country, the main roads, meaning the place where the caravans travel, to invite them. The king in the parable didn't seem to care if they were under his jurisdiction or not. They were to invite as many folks as they saw fit, as many people as they had seen on the roads. Now you might ask, are these worthy guests for a wedding? Well, the text says they were bad and good. It didn't matter. But they were receptive to the call to come. God doesn't care about outward appearance. The wedding feast is not just for the good folks. Rather, it's open to anyone who would listen and grant the king the precious gift of their presence. Listening matters. Obeying the call matters. For faith comes by hearing. And it's this faith by which you are saved. Giving up your Sunday morning to be at the feast of the King ultimately matters. The excuses are many. But as we heard, many are called, few are chosen. Hearing these words matters more than anything else in this life. The servants of the Lord still call. We say we are Christians. We have been called by the mercies of our Lord Jesus to believe in Him. It's how many of us get a little tired of not even 10 minutes of time, perhaps taking up the call that our Lord gives to us in His Word. Do we spurn the call of our Lord in His Word? Are we just like the original invitees, spurning the invitation that He so sweetly speaks? We are poor stewards of our time. I can waste 3 hours very quickly because of a little phone. You can spend much more time on the small, minute details of our life without giving much time to what truly matters. You probably are already itchy and antsy about what's to come in the celebrations today, because this might be a little long. But when it's a movie or a sporting event, we can easily become mesmerized for hours on end. Why is something that is deemed good by the King so difficult to give up our time to? How often do we act more in line with those first who were invited? We offer up our own excuses to try to justify ourselves, but many of our excuses come down to being petty. It's a spurning of the Lord and His gifts, nevertheless. They're lame excuses to overlook our Lord's invitation. And eventually, we will see where that ends. Spurning our Lord's invitation is not a good thing. God does what the parable says. Sometimes God does take everything away from us, which we hold dear, in order to show us what truly matters. Think about the last years. How much was taken from you? Do you feel like God made us drop to our knees to cry out for His mercy? Listen to Him and to His Word, and be here for His feast. This is what truly matters. See your life in Him now and always, because the meal which He gives really is what gives you true life. Do we listen to that and take it to heart? Or is it something that's a good treat, but not necessarily essential? Hear the words of our Lord and consider whether Jesus considers the meal, His feast, optional. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on Me, He also will live because of Me. Hearing those words, we should have no desire to ever miss this feast. Everyone invited in the second group of our parable knew that much. You don't want to miss it, because it's the King's feast after all. But there still appears to be one hurdle still to overcome. How are you made ready for the feast? the feast requires proper clothes. But these clothes are not the clothes owned by the guests. We got that from our intro. These clothes are freely given by the king to those the servants invited. The servants are as part of their invitation, probably handed out these clothes, because these people in the highways and the byways, how were they to know that they were even going to be invited to a wedding in the first place? Probably, most likely, the king had garments for them. They were wedding clothes, garments for the invited party to have forevermore after the wedding feast. And yet, there was that one man who didn't wear them into the banquet hall. He committed the same type of sin as the first group of invitees. He didn't listen to the Lord's servants. We aren't told the servants' words, but it's extremely likely that with any invitation, such as a wedding, just like our own parties, the invitation spoke about the dress code. You've been to those before, I'm sure. Some parties are black tie affairs, others more business casual. Now, I've never been to a party where the thrower of the party hands out clothing to his guests, but like I said, it did happen in Jesus' day. But listening to the rules of the party are just as important as to hearing the actual invitation showing up. And the man who failed to listen was thrown out of the party and also put out into the utter darkness. Did he show up wanting to show, I can do this too? We don't know. But what we do know is that he had the wedding clothes and chose not to wear them. You do not get to decide how you appear. When you show up to the feast, you wear what the king gives you to wear. And what he gives you is a beautiful white robe. A white robe pure for the sake of his son. Can this robe get dirty? Certainly it can. Our white robe given to us in holy baptism is probably more black than white as we traverse this life. We sin against the words of our Lord. We don't listen ourselves. We're like sheep gone astray most often. And we probably forget to put it on as well. We fail to pay heed to his servant's words. We spurn our Lord's gifts. We deserve the same fate. Then we hear the voice of his servants. There is forgiveness and steadfast love for you because of the Son. You are cleansed by washing your robes in the very blood of the Lamb, who is the Son of God, the one who is being celebrated, having been united to him as his bride for all eternity. Christ has become a man so that you might be his redeemed bride. He cleanses you from sin as he pours out his blood for you at his cross. That is his everlasting pledge to you in love. And so now know that Christ forgives you. All of your sins are forgiven. You have this robe given to you. And it's something to never forget about. Wearing Christ's own robe is what gets you into the everlasting feast. Baptism marks you as one redeemed by Christ. You are a child of God. And baptism has magnificent benefits. It grants you forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to those who believe these words and promises of God. This is the way to be welcomed by the King to the feast and thus remain in his presence forever. Know all of this is a true gift. The entire banquet is a gift. The invitation is a gift. The clothing is a gift. Everything is a gift from the gracious King. Nothing depends upon you for you to be in the banquet hall. for this feast that has no end. God has done it all. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. Our Lord likes to throw one heck of a party, and he loves to rejoice over you. In the parable, you hear about the son, but you don't get to hear about the bride, for you see, the guests are the true bride. We saw the marriage begin the moment of Jesus on this cross, when he gives his mother to John and cleaves to his bride, the church, and from his side flowed blood and water. The marriage feast of the Lamb began right then. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. He has made you his bride beautiful, shedding his own blood for you. The church is made perfect, not by her own works, but the works of Christ, wearing the robe that Christ has won for her. Your sins are taken away for the sake of him who died, the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are brought into the body of the church, Christ's true bride, by the waters of holy baptism. And thus you are united and invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which has no end. One of my favorite books of late is a book called Come In, We're Closed. Lord willing, we'll probably get to read that book together. In the book, this parable shows up. The main character, Shep, explains the parable in light of a rehearsal dinner for a wedding. You practice everything so you get it right for the big day. Each Sunday, you and I get to be together as the body of Christ here at Christ Lutheran Church, encouraging one another to join together in this place and rehearse for the big day. Each and every divine service is one grand rehearsal, and we have the sacrament of the altar, Jesus' body and blood, a grand foretaste of the feast to come. You and I get to see our Lord Jesus under the bread and wine, and we get to receive a foretaste of that feast to come, receiving from him the gift that he freely gives out in his meal. Let us not spurn these opportunities to receive God's gifts together and thus be strengthened in the one holy faith. But let us rather relish in the opportunities that our Lord grants to us to receive from his own hand. He wants us to remember that we are his beloved. And what better way than to bring us the forgiveness and life-giving body and blood that will last into eternity. This is what your king wants to do. So do not look a gift horse in the mouth, but come joyfully and receive what he desires to give to his beloved. He gives salvation to those who have waited and those who have suffered at the hands of the enemies of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the supper of the Lamb. For it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And we can rejoice even now. For our Lord Jesus Christ has come to us and comes to us now, giving us that same salvation. He has removed our filth and our reproach. He has cleansed us and made us beautiful in his eyes. So let us rejoice and be glad in our Lord's mercy and grace, and be in his presence forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.